and back the second time. Shabbat Shalom. The title of my message today is Reflect on Your Calling. Reflect on Your Calling. Why you? Why me? Why did God call us? Why not every other person? Because if you look at the description of what the kingdom of God will look like in the scriptures, a place where we have perfect peace, a place of perfect peace, a place of perfect health, a place where we have eternal life and nobody will die, a place of no war, no troubles. If this kingdom or this country were to be somewhere in another planet where man can reach, I don't think we'll be able to afford to go and live in that country. It will belong to the rich, the powerful, and the greatest people in the world, the people that control the resources of the world. That is where they will live. But God have called all of us, God have called us to be part of this kingdom, to be part of this country. Why? Why us? I want to take us to the story in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, from verse 1 to 11. The story of Samuel, the prophet, and Saul, the first king of Israel. How God chose him. First Samuel 10. First Samuel 10 from 1. And he said, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Richard's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin and Zelza, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou went to seek are found, and lo, thy father had left the care of the asses and sorrowed for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying the three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt be done before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offering and to sacrifice of the peace offering. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." Now, Samuel anointed Saul. If you go back to 1 Samuel 9:17. 1 Samuel 9:17. That was when Samuel met Saul. 1 Samuel 9:17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered and said, I am the seer, go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go. And I will tell thee all that is in thy heart. And as for thy asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? So God chose Saul from the smallest kindred in Israel, and from the least of the families of the Benjamites. His father was not among the great. He was from the least of the families. Yet God found him and made him king over his people. If you also turn to 1 Samuel 16, from 6. This was how God chose King David. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. This place referring to Samuel. God sent him to the house of David's father, Jesse, to anoint a king. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on his height, or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither had the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Sham to pass by, and he said, Neither had the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord had not chosen this. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, There remain yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withered, of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for he is he. So in the house of Jesse, he presented, first of all, his children that he thought that that God would love these people. God would love to work with these people. But God said no. Some of them were in the military. Some of them, you know, they were well grown. David was a shepherd in the bush. The least of them all, that's the servant of all of them, taking care of the sheep. But God decided to choose David. But God said, I look at the heart. I don't look at the stature. I don't look at people's countenance. I don't look at what other people, human beings, talk about others. I choose who I want to choose. And that was how God chose David to be king over Israel. David, of all the sons of Jesse, God chose David, the shepherd. Look at what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1:26. First Corinthians 1:26. to 29. Say, for you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has chosen all of us, not because we are the greatest of all people, but God has decided to walk with us, to make us part of his kingdom. This is wonderful. This is something we have to reflect on every day by day. This is something we have to wake up and we begin to give God thanks for calling us, for choosing us, for calling us his own people, the greatest personality in the whole universe. And he wants to make us part of the greatest country and kingdom that the world or anybody has ever seen or heard. The Bible said, what God prepared for those who love him, it has not even entered into the heart of man. But we have an idea of it because we believe in God, and God has decided to reveal to us a little bit of it. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 7:7, and he said, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Not because we are the best, not because we are the wisest, not because of our knowledge, of our wealth, or anything that we have, but because God have loved us and God have delivered us from the world, and he has given us power to overcome sin and to walk with him. It's something we should reflect on every day by day. It's something we should celebrate. And God did not just call us. When God calls us, like the Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel 10, said when God chose Saul, Samuel told Saul that he would be a changed person. And somewhere in the book of Samuel, the Bible said God gave him a new heart. When God calls us, and when he chooses us, he gives us a new heart. He gives us a new heart. A new heart like that of his own and that of Jesus Christ. So when he speaks, we will understand. When he calls, we will hear. Because the world have ears, but they cannot hear with them. And they have understanding, but they don't understand anything. But God, when he calls us, he gives us a new heart. He gives us a new mind. He transforms us. If you turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:26. And he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. So when God calls us, God equips us. He gives us a new heart, and he gives us his spirit so we will be able to walk with him, to understand him, to keep his judgment, and to do his will. In America today, it's very, very, very one of the most expensive medical bills you will pay is getting a heart transplant. When you get a heart transplant here, it's very, very expensive. And they will not even assure you that you will survive after you got a heart transplant. But God said he will give us a new heart. He will change our mindset. He will remove the stony heart that does not understand anything, that does not see the spiritual things. And God will give us the heart of flesh. God will help us to walk with him, understand him, to prepare us to inherit his kingdom. That is what God does when he calls us and we respond. He gives us a new heart. If you turn to Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they might walk in my statute and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What does it mean for God to transform us, to give us a new heart? The heart that looks like that, the heart like the heart of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you. The same mind in Christ Jesus. It said, let this mind be in you. Let's retain this mind of God. Let's hold it very strong. Let's pray to God every day to continue to let us have this mind, like the mind of Christ. The mind to forgive. The mind to be a light to the world. The mind to preach, the mind to preach the good news. The mind to help others understand God's way. The mind to teach. The mind to learn God's way. The mind to show others how to live a godly life and what the kingdom of God will look like, where everything will be all about love, 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 love. That is the mind that God will give to us, like that mind of Jesus Christ. Even with the people who crucified him, who accused him, he never cursed any of them. The Bible said he did not open his mouth. Rather, he prayed that God forgive them because they know not what they do. This is the mind that God has given to us. Are we making use of this mind? Are we trying to walk? Use the minds that God has given to us to its maximum. Are we trying to suppress it? Let us make use of what God has given to us, because it's a privilege, the greatest privilege, to be called by God or to be chosen by God. That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Let us go ahead and see why God has called us. Why has he chosen us? If you turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1 from verse 1. God said to Jeremiah, I will read, the word of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatot, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. So, he was a child. He didn't even know how to speak. Yet God chose him. God said, I've chosen you. God chose a child in the midst of adults. God chose a child in the midst of adults. And he said, I don't even know how to speak. Just like the same thing that happened with God and Moses. A lot of people that know how to speak, the orators were there, yet God chose Moses. The same with Jeremiah. God chose him and said, I've sent you to go and do my work. So it doesn't matter what we consider as weakness. It doesn't matter what we consider as stumbling block before us. God knows everything. God sees everything. God knows all our circumstances. Yet it has pleased him to choose us to do his work. So let us stand like Jeremiah and let us do God's work. That is the reason why God has chosen us. God has chosen us to do his work and to be a light to this world. If you turn to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are a chosen generation, peculiar people to God. And God has called us to show forth his praises and to shine as light in the dark world, to be a salt to the earth, to give taste to the world, to teach the world how to fear God and how to keep his commandments. And if you turn to Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 1 from verse 10 said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I have to read from 9. He said, Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. So God is preparing us to inherit his kingdom when he will gather everything both in heaven and on earth that fear him and give us his kingdom. God wants us to be part of that kingdom. That is why God has called us, and he wants us to be an example in this world, to live a a righteous life like people that have the mind of Jesus Christ, to shine as light like people that have the mind of Jesus Christ, to love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, just like Jesus Christ did, to forgive those who have wronged us and move on with them, don't forgive them and dump them, because Jesus Christ, when he forgives us, he continues to walk with us. So when we forgive those who have wronged us, it's very important that we also try to walk with them, because as we walk with them, we'll continue to teach them God's ways through our own life. But if we isolate them and cut them off, they might not learn the lesson that God wants them to learn from us. But God has a purpose and reason for bringing people together, for bringing us together, so that we will, serve that purpose. Maybe we are to teach the other person, or maybe we have to learn something from the other person, and we have to keep that going. Jesus Christ, when he forgives, he continues to walk with us, and he is ready to forgive and forgive and forgive. The Bible says, how many times with your brother will your brother wrong you and you will not forgive him? Jesus Christ says 70 times 7 in one day. So if anybody have wronged us less than 70 times 7 in one day and we say we will not forgive them, then that's not the mind of Jesus Christ. That's not the mind of Jesus Christ. So that is the mind that God has given us. That's the transformation that we have received. And God wants us to shine and be that light. If you turn to Matthew 5:13. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candles and put them under the bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this is our responsibility. It doesn't matter where the darkness is. The Bible said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. God has called us to shine in the dark world. Not to be part of it, but to shine, to be an example in a world that is dark. To shine so that the people in darkness will see light. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was passing through a certain city, he said the people in that city, they saw great light. That is what God wants from us. He wants us to shine as great lights wherever we are so that people around us will see God's light. But the book of Matthew 5:13 says something. He said, if the salt have lost its savor. Now, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 20:16, he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And we know that the end of the road is not when we are chosen. That God can still reject us after choosing us. God can still reject us. He said, if the salt have lost its savor, if we lose our savor, God can still reject us. If we don't do the right thing, God can still reject us. And when God calls us, he wants us to be chosen and he wants us to remain faithful to his coming. Till he comes, according to Revelation 17:14, say they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. So we have to look out this. And I will take you back to the story of King Saul and Samuel again. What are one of the things that can make God reject us, reject a chosen one? Can the chosen one be rejected? The answer is yes. God can choose us, and tomorrow he can reject us. God can walk with us today, and tomorrow he will decide not to walk with us. But we will be the cause, not God. Let us look at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 to 3. First Samuel 15, 1-3. Now, after Samuel anointed Saul, king of Israel, God gave him an assignment to carry out. God gave him a commandment. God told him what to do. First Samuel 15, 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came out from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered. So God told Saul to do this, to destroy everything. And if you go to 9, 1 Samuel 15, 1, 15, 1 Samuel 15, 9, the same place, just go to verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and of the lamb and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroy utterly. So they went there, Saul went there and did his destruction selectively. He came back with the king. He came back with everything that looked good in that city. He did not obey the voice of God. And if you go to 12, verses 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. That was what Saul said to Samuel. And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul said to Samuel, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So initially God told him to destroy everything, and he went there and he did not do what God said. Immediately he saw Samuel. He said, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bathing of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in your own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, just like all of us? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So Saul insisted that he has done something good, the best. He has obeyed God and did the commandment of God. No repentance. No repentance. And Samuel said, had the Lord a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the ram. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected thee from being king. So God rejected Saul because he disobeyed God. He was a chosen, but he disobeyed God, and he refused to repent from his sin. So God rejected him. And you know, God always have a plan B. Nobody is in this, cannot be disposed. God can dispose of anybody and replace us. God can replace us at any time. God always have a plan B. And the Spirit of God left Saul, and God gave that spirit to David. So we have to be very careful. But the fact that God has chosen us does not mean that God cannot reject us when we do something wrong and refuse to repent. So that was how God rejected King Saul. And this can apply to anybody. This can apply to anybody. This can happen to anybody. And if you turn to the book of 1 John 1:8, 1 John 1:8, 1 John 1:8. First John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his words is not in us. So King Saul made God a liar by insisting that he had done God's will. And if we do the same, we'll be making God a liar. But we will not do that. We will learn from King David, a man after God's heart, because he was in the same situation, just like Saul. But he was able to repent, and God continued to work with him. If you turn to 2 Samuel 12, from verse 1. So this is a story that we know very well. How David saw a woman from his balcony. He saw the woman and caught the woman, and he slept with the woman. And something happened that David had to kill the husband of that woman, and that woman became his wife. And God was angry with him. And God sent a prophet called Nathan. And this was what happened. 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flocks and of his own head to dress for the wayfaring wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did these things, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Thus said the Lord God of Israel, "I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with them, with thy wives, in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel and before the sun." And look at David's reaction. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." So you see two kings with two different reactions after they sinned against God. One insisted that he did the right thing, and the other said, "I have sinned." And the prophet said, "God have taken away your sin, and you will not die." This is what we need to do. We need to have the boldness to go back to God always and ask God to forgive us. We need to open our hearts to God and tell God that we have sinned, and that we are asking for mercy, and God will forgive us, and God will continue to walk with us. But if God has chosen us, and we are so much righteous in our own way, and we think we have no sin, and we think we are the best, and we continue to remove the stone in other people's eyes, not seeing the one we have in our own eyes, God will not be able to walk with us. God will reject us. We must be sincere to God. We must pour our hearts to God, just like King David. And that is how God will continue to walk with us. And that is how we can be faithful. If we sin and we turn back to God and we ask him for forgiveness, and he continues to walk with us. Because God needs us to be faithful, to remain faithful, for us to inherit God's kingdom. Jesus Christ said, "If the Son of Man comes back to this world, will he find faith?" That is very important. Will he find faith? So for the fact that God has called us and chosen us, according to the book of 1 Peter 2:9, does not mean that God cannot reject us if we reject him. So we have to reflect on our calling every day. And we have to take it seriously. We have to take it seriously. We must consider everything, both the little and the things we consider big. The little things that can distract us, and the big things that we think that these things are more important. We have to put everything into consideration in order to continue to walk with God. If not, we will lose our salvation. Will lose God's calling and will not be part of his kingdom. So this is very important. Even as Passover approaches, we have to make sure that we are wearing that heart of Jesus Christ, The mind that God has given to us, the mind of Jesus Christ. The mind that asks God for forgiveness. The mind that forgives others. The mind that loves and never ceases to love. That is the mind that we are supposed to wear. And let us continue. Let us see what David said, the prayer of David. The prayer for forgiveness in the book of Psalms 51. The book of Psalms 51. The book of Psalms 51, from verse 1. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions." That's very important, to acknowledge our sins. "And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bone which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." As a prayer of David to God. And God heard this prayer. And God walked with David. God walked with the son of David, Solomon. Solomon was a son from the wife of Uriah. And God made him the king of Israel after David. So God had mercy on David, and God continued to walk with David. And God blessed the son of David, Solomon, a son from that woman that God wanted to kill David because of her. So if we confess our sins to God, and if we sincerely acknowledge our sins and confess our sins to God, God will forgive us. God will forget about our sins, and he will continue to walk with us. He will bless us. And this is how it should be with all chosen ones. If God have chosen you, we must have this mindset of David, a mind that acknowledges his sin, not like Saul, King Saul, a man that argues with God and calls God a liar. Let us continue to reflect on our calling, and let us take it seriously. And we must learn, like I said before, to forgive others their sins. If you see Matthew 6:14, let's turn to Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14. So if we're asking God to forgive us, we must be willing to forgive others. Matthew 6:14. "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." So if we sin against God and we want God to forgive us, we should be ready to to forgive others who have wronged us. If we want God to forget about our sin and continue to walk with us, we should be ready to forgive other people and forget their sins and continue to walk with them. This is how we can receive God's calling, and God chooses us out of so many people that he called. And this is how we can remain faithful till the end, till the return of Jesus Christ, so that when Jesus Christ comes back to this world, he will find faith and we will be among the people that will remain faithful till Jesus Christ returns. If you turn to Revelation 17:14. Revelation 17:14. Say, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So we must not stop our journey halfway. He said, they are called and they are chosen and they are faithful. God have called us. God have chosen us. It is left for us to remain faithful to God till Jesus Christ returns. And one of the ways how we can remain faithful is to always remember that we are still human and we are in the world. And we are not as righteous as Jesus Christ yet. And we must remember to always, even when we feel that we have not sinned, to go back to God and acknowledge our sins and repent of it and ask God to forgive us and continue to walk with us. And we must be willing to forgive others their sins and forget about it and continue to walk with them. Let's reflect on our calling. It's a great thing that God has called us out of so many great people in the world, the rich people, the mighty people, the people that control the resources of the world are there, but God has chosen us to be part of his kingdom, to represent him, to spread this gospel in this generation. It's a great thing. Let us reflect on this always, and let us try our best to retain the mind that God has given to us, so that when Jesus Christ returns, we will be among the called, the chosen, and the faithful.